The church has been silent while the world raised its voice. In loud and angry tones they took the lead. But all across creation there's a rumbling in the hills as the chosen ones of God stand up to make his message known. Shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops, tell the world around me Jesus saves. I made my choice, I'm gonna make a joyful noise, the world will hear my voice, Jesus saves.
The rocks and hills were ready to proclaim the Savior's might. But the Spirit of the Lord said they should wait.
You see, God knew his children were ready to march on and proclaim his word throughout the land and seal the devil's fate.
But the world still tells us daily that God is not a lie, and salvation's plan is just a fairy tale.
But their lives don't change the truth. Jesus died for you, and the word of his returning could happen any day.
I'm gonna
shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops, tell the world around me Jesus saves. I made my choice, I'm gonna make a joyful noise, the world will hear my voice, Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
I'm gonna
shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops, tell the world around me Jesus saves. I made my choice, I'm gonna make a joyful noise, the world will hear my voice, Jesus saves. The world will hear my voice, Jesus saves. The world will hear my voice, Jesus saves. Jesus saves.
Saves. Amen. If you would take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Psalms, we'll be in the book of Psalms this morning. And when you get there, we'll turn to the 27th Psalm together. If you open your Bible right in the middle, about halfway through, you'll find Psalms. And we'll go to the 27th Psalm. And when you find your place there, if you would please stand to your feet with me for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 27, we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And we'll read it responsively. I'll read verse 1. If you'll jump in and read verse number 2, I'll take the odd number verses. You come in and read the even numbered verses, and we'll read verses 1 through 14. Psalm 27, verse 1. I'll start. You come in on verse number 2. Psalm 27, verse 1 says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. when thou sayest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we have the opportunity and the privileges and the freedoms to come to your house and worship you. Lord, I ask that we would give our hearts and our minds complete to you during this message to mold in whatever way you see fit. Be with Pastor Becker and use him in a mighty way. Give him the words to say. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. We'll be in Psalms 27 this morning as we look at this psalm that the Lord gave to us. And we are a little later with our Lord's Supper today, but that's okay. Lunch will stay warm as you go, or the lines will get longer as you wait here. I'm not sure which one that is. Psalms 27, as you look at this psalm, it says it's a psalm of David. We don't know exactly the events surrounding the psalm and David's life, but we know some of the events, of course, that the Lord brought his way. It's an unknown battle that he was facing, but maybe someone that he was facing as an enemy in his life. And verse number 2, it talks about the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, that came up upon me to eat my flesh, and they stumbled and fell. In verse number 3, it talks about war. And verse number 5, it talks about this time of trouble that he was facing in his life. In verse number 10, he speaks, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Verse number 12 says, deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. David had his fair share of enemies and battles in his life. As you know, King Saul, David had killed Goliath, and then Saul was jealous and spent many days and years going after David, trying to take his life. As he hid in caves, as he had to feign himself to be a madman so that his life would not be taken. And even when God gave David the opportunity to take Saul's life, he would not lift up his hand against the Lord's anointed. Maybe it was the time where Absalom had come to overthrow the kingdom. For 40 years, Absalom, David's own son, sat at the gate, stealing the hearts of the people. And at an appointed time, and he stole people and turned their hearts against his own father, against his own people, and ran his father out from the kingdom and seeking his life and the kingdom as well. Of all of this that God had allowed David to go through in his life, I look at verse number 13 and I think about that in the context of what maybe the Lord had brought in his life. And he says this, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's times in our life where God brings along trials and difficulties, and the enemies may seem to face on every side, and you think, well, I might just quit. I might just give up. I might give in. But as David said here, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. I want to preach a message this morning for a few minutes about the goodness of the Lord. I want to take a moment today and just lift up our God and talk about how good our God is. I don't know about you, but we serve a great and a mighty God, don't we? We serve a great and a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. The goodness of the Lord. The word goodness means good things or the best things. Amen? I had fainted unless I had believed faith to see what God has done in my life, the goodness of God. The good things or the best things that God has laid out for me. You ever get to that place in your life where you get to complaining? Right? I won't ask for raise your hands because I don't want to ask anyone to lie in here and not raise your hand. But you ever get to complaining about stuff and you're like, I don't even need anything good to complain about. I'm going to complain about something either way because that's your spirit, right? We get there sometimes. We get impatient or we start looking at the negative side of things. And then you start to think and God gets a hold of your mind. You think, but how could I complain about anything when God has been so good to me in my life? The goodness of God, the good things that God has done to me. When I look around and see the good things that He's done to me, I know that I'm unworthy of them all. And His blessings He freely gives, I owe my life to Him. I've got so much to thank Him for. Amen? You look around at the good things and the best things that God has done to you. I had fainted if I looked at my enemies around me. I had fainted if I looked at the foes around me, David had said. I would have fainted if I looked at the enemies, those that have forsaken me. But then I looked at my God, and I realized how good God has been to me in the land of the living, the Bible says. Aren't there things when you think about them, they just make you happy, right? There's things you think about, and it just makes you want to sing. It makes you want to shout. It makes you want to pray. It makes you want to just thank the Lord about how good God has been. One of those things that just make me happy is thinking that next month is Thanksgiving. The weather's getting cooler. It's coming. Amen? How can you not be happy thinking about a roasted turkey? Now, it's not Thanksgiving yet, but we got to start thinking about these things as well. Last week, we went to visit some family. We went to Apple Hill. If you don't know where Apple Hill is, you've got to get a pie from Apple Hill. It's in our freezer, and I've not enjoyed one bite of it yet. But we went there and ate every apple thing you can imagine. We weren't there for the sights. We weren't there to enjoy the fun and the things that we were there for food. That's the real reason we were there. And we've got some pies that are ready to be eaten. Maybe they'll make it to Thanksgiving. Maybe they won't. But when I think of the good things that are stored for me, you think of Thanksgiving time, of all the food you get, the family you spend time with, the goodness of God, and it makes you think about God. Think about God's goodness. It's easy to get our minds and our heart on things that are negative, to get discouraged, to get defeated, but then when you get your eyes up on God and not your eyes down here, and you think, if God has been so good, I have nothing to complain about. Nothing to be negative about, nothing to be discouraged about. I know discouragements come and defeat may come, but get your eyes up on the goodness of God and it will change your day, I promise you. Won't it? You think, you don't know what I'm facing today, but oh, how good our God is. How good our God is to us. Every day, the fact that I'm saved and on my way to heaven, amen. Every day we have the Word of God in our language, as much of the world does not have the Word of God in their language. Every day I get to spend time with God in prayer. We get a church to go to. I get a family, a home. Man, how good God has been in our lives. How could I complain? How could I quit on God when God has been so good to me? Get your eyes up on the goodness of God. I want to give you some simple points today, but some truths. I pray that be a help today. Number one, God is only good. Think about it. God is only good. There is no evil in God. There is no wickedness in God. There is no wrong or evil doing or hurt that God has towards His children or you at all. God did not create evil. God did not create sin. That was mankind that turned against God and His commandments. God is only good. He cannot sin. It goes against His nature, against His holiness. He is only good. In the book of Genesis, the 6 days of creation, after He created everything, He said it was good, and it was good, and it was good, because when God creates something, it is good. And on the sixth day, the Bible says, when God saw everything that He made, behold, it was very good. Amen? Can you get a testimony that God has been very good to you in your life? God has done nothing wrong and nothing evil. You think, but there's a lot of evil that's happened. That's because of the sin and the fall of mankind. That is not to blame for God, but mankind, which we are one of them. God is only good. In Matthew chapter 19, it says, "Why callest thou me good?" Jesus Christ said, pointing to the Father, and said, "There is none good but one, that is God." He was deferring the glory to God, but says, there is one that is good, and that is God. You may think, oh, I have a friend and a spouse, and they are good, and amen, thankful for friend and spouse and children, but no one is like God. Amen? God is good. There is none like God. In Psalms 25, verse 8, it says, good and upright is the Lord. Good and upright in the Lord. Psalm 34, verse number 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Is good. You say, God's not been good to me. Well, you're not looking. You're not looking then. Or maybe you're not following the Lord as well. Right? God's blessings come on the children of obedience. His chastisement comes on the children of disobedience. But you'll always know God that He will be good. Even in God's correction, He is good. His love is shown out on His children by His correction on us when we walk away from Him. God is only good. Never done anything wrong. Never had a wrong thought, a wrong action, a wrong motive towards you or anyone else. God is only good. Number two, not only is God only good, but God is always good. Amen? God is not only good, there is no evil in Him, but He is always good. You say that means the same thing. Well, partly in Psalm 52, verse number 1, it says, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. The goodness of God endureth continually for every generation, every person, that God's goodness is continuing. He is always good. See, you and I, we have a bad day, don't we? You know, someone's having a bad day. I'm having a bad week, a bad month, a bad year. It maybe continues for you, but God is always good. God never has a bad day. Amen? He's always, always good. Have you ever looked at something that was fed to you and you thought, I don't know if that's good, right? Especially children, right? Someone puts in front of you Brussels sprouts and you think, there's no way that can be good. But if you roast them, amen, you season them just right, and you eat that and you go, I've eaten them bad, but now I've eaten it good, amen? You may look at something and think, I don't know if that's good. Joseph in his life, when he had been betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, and they came and with a fake apology really to Joseph, and he said, you meant it to evil, but God meant it for good. God is always good. Think about that. You say, but I don't see how it can work. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose, all things work together for good. If you are following God, God works all things together for good in your life because God is always good. You look at that food and you think, I don't know if it's good. It doesn't look good. And then you take a bite and you go, ooh, it is good. In your life, how many times do we say, God, I don't know how this situation could turn out for good. But God can turn that out for good. If God's allowed that into your life, He can make all things work together for good. In your life and in mine as well. Because God is good. God will never put something bad or evil in your way. God is always good. God is still good. God is so good in our lives. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You think, but look at things today. Where is God? You keep your eyes up and you see God. If you keep your eyes on people, you may get discouraged with society. You may get discouraged with people or situations in your life. But keep your eyes up to the Lord. Why? Because our redemption draweth nigh. Amen? God is still good. God is still on the throne. Amen? I say God is still on the throne. Amen. Amen? He still saves. He still keeps. He still keeps His promises just as He said He would. He is still good. The Bible says the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. You know that God wants to be praised, right? You like to be praised, don't you? You say, no, I don't care. I don't need anything. Yes, you do. Don't lie about it. Everyone wants to be praised and thanked. But how much when God blesses our lives and and pours out his blessings and goodness in our life, and we turn around and say nothing. We turn around like the lepers that were healed by Jesus and not even turn around to say thank you. Amen. That we should turn to God and say, God, I thank you for your blessings today. Praising God, lifting him up for his goodness that he has done in our lives. Praise him for his goodness. When you look at God's goodness, it helps you to trust him as well. My goodness, it says here in Psalm 144, verse 2, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower. Titles for God. My goodness, my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. That he is one to put your faith and your trust in. Why? Because when he does no good, when he does no evil, I can always put my trust in him. You put your trust in people, they'll fail you eventually. They will. We'll fail eventually, but God will never fail. He is my shield, my high tower. He is my fortress, my deliverer. In him do I trust. So many verses we could look at today. In Joshua 21, it says, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord hath spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. You know, God promises good in your life if you listen to him. But how many times do we come to the Word of God and say, I know that's what the Bible says, but I have a better idea in my life. How foolish of thinking is that, isn't it? I know what God says, but just this one time, it's going to turn out good if I do it my way. You know, when you do it God's way, God blesses. But have you also figured out when you do it your way, it doesn't go so good as well? Many times we do it our own way and we fail and we flounder and we fall on our face and we say, God, why did you do this? And God said, I didn't do it. That was you. That was all you. That was none of me. I told you not to do that. Again, like a parent that says, don't do that, stop. And then your kid crashes and falls and you're like, I told you to stop. I know this may not sound sensitive. I'm sorry, but I'll say God punished you. Right? You've been the right parent. I was warning you, and they ran ahead and did it anyway. I said, God punished you. I'm sorry. You know, as you take them to mom and say, here, comfort. No, I'm sorry, but if you listen, that it never happened, right? How many times we run ahead of God? We do it our own way. We fall on our face and say, God, why did you let this happen? God said, I warned you. I warned you. Thank God for his goodness. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise God for his goodness. Trust in God for his goodness, but then thank God for his goodness as well. Thank him. You say, oh, you do this with people, don't you? Oh, they know that I'm thankful. Oh, they know that I love them. Oh, they know I'll always be there for them. Don't you think they might want to hear on occasion? Right? Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you know, I hope you're not that person. You just expect people to do things for you. Oh, you have to do it because you're married to me. That's going to go well, right? We got a lot of laughs because you've maybe been there before. You know what? A thank you goes a long ways, doesn't it? And when you come to God, again, we're getting to Thanksgiving time, so we might as well get there in the thankful spirit as well and say, God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for my salvation and a roof over my head, shoes on my feet, food that is in the crock pot roasting right now, ready for us to come home and eat it. Thank you, God, for your goodness. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. When the way looks dark, God is still good. When the world turns to wickedness, God is still good. When you've lost your hope, God is still good. When you failed again, God is still good. Let's get our eyes up on God. Let's thank the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Let's trust the Lord because he is only good. He is always good. He will never fail and stop being good. Why? Because he is God. Let's praise him for it. Let's thank him for it. Let's trust the Lord for that. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll begin the invitation this morning. God, I pray. Lord, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. How many times do we run past your blessings and not say thank you and not praise you and not trust you? How many times do we pray and ask and never give you the glory? How many times do we turn our back on you and then blame you, God, when you've only been good? Maybe there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says the goodness of the Lord leadeth us to repentance. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Why would you say no to God? Why would you say no to a home in heaven, a free gift of eternal life? Would you say yes to the Lord? If you don't know God as your Savior, would you slip your hand up so I could pray for you?